Yeah, I hear it.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, Daryl. Give me that. Give me that good stuff.
Ow!
Wow!
Damn! Yeah, that.
Works.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour, broadcasting from Pompeii 2A. Who else is coming here? A mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios on the corner of Trashview and Nada Vista. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. Put on your 3D glasses now. We warm your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Michael? Can you feel it?
I'm feeling it. And it's going to be a two-man show here. I think James Weeks has been contacted by the government, or I don't know, maybe he talked to the police and they shot him. No, he wouldn't talk to the police. He says he never, ever, ever talked to the police. And we have a story. One of our first stories tonight is about never talking to the police because they'll come shoot your dog, which I've actually said... I don't want to say joking, but, you know, it's kind of a shorthand for, like, when people say, why shouldn't you call the police? You know, I've said before, because they'll show up and shoot your dog. So there was someone in Minnesota who literally called the police, and the cops came and shot their dog. And do you have that story around? Or I'll get the story up. You got it? Yep. You got it there?
Yeah, I couldn't even look at it. You know, okay. I looked at it.
I feel you.
And I just put it aside. I get kind of disturbed by these kind of stories,
yeah.
But I can pull it up if you really want me to. Mm. I do have this other one for some reason about the Castile shooting.
One? Yeah, that one I want to talk about too. That's, I mean, basically it's just a whole bunch of police tyranny this week. And the Castile shooting is the person, the young black man who had a concealed carry permit, who got shot by a cop while his girlfriend live streamed the result on Facebook as a witness, as proof, because, you know, the police always say something else if you don't have proof, and or often say something else. And it's pretty horrifying. I couldn't watch that footage either. And, you know, more and more people are sending me show notes like, hey, Michael, you should talk about this on the show, and sending me just the most horrific abuses of the state. And we're not snowflakes here. We'll talk about it. But you know what? If you want to send me show notes, and we will talk about these horrible things, but I want to say that the Freedom Fiends aren't so much about talking about the horrible. We're more about laughing at the state. Like, I'm more interested in reading, like, you know, oh, sheriff ends up in prison named after him. Things like that. You know, irony that's kind of funny. Or just, like, baffling ordeal stuff that's kind of horrible, but where no one dies. Like, let's see, you know, examples like, person gets their house taken away because they were invalid and disabled and couldn't mow the lawn and couldn't afford to pay someone to mow the lawn. It didn't have a relative that could mow the lawn. And the city sent them dunning notices to the point where, you know, they take the house. Like, that I'm interested in reading about. More than anything, I'm kind of interested in not reading just the horror. Here's what every other show does in Liberty, or most other shows. Libertarian.
Tell me what every other show does.
I will tell you what every other show does. They open the paper, digitally open the paper, and read the horrible headlines and comment on them and say, see, this is what government does. And it's horrible. And if there wasn't a government, we'd all live in peace and harmony and sing kumbaya and live in Hawaii on the beach and pluck lobsters out of the ocean and eat them. That's what you do, yeah. You do, right?
Yeah, and so bikinis in every supermarket. But, you know, that's part of the hardship.
Really? Wow. Yeah. That's the hardship of living in Hawaii.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, in reality, we can keep going over the tyranny, just like you and Nima did back in the day, the tyranny today stuff. And
yeah.
I like to think, okay, is that what the market wants? You know,
well,
we want to respond to the market, right?
I don't know. No, I don't think.
No,
we do.
Maybe not.
I think we want to create the market. I think we want to fill the niche that's not being created by the market, even if it's a small niche. And our niche is kind of laughing while Western civilization collapses. And that sounds fatalist, but that's kind of tongue in cheek. That's one of our mottos of this show. Like, We've said that for a long time. Like, that's our description on iTunes. You know, there's a place like, you know, 100 words or less, description, 100 characters or less, what's your show about? I was laughing while Western civilization collapses. It used to be, another one that we use is anti-war, pro-gun. I like that because it's true, and it just makes people scratch their head. Like, well, no, if you like guns, you must like war. Nope. Basically, I don't like the fact that there's a monopoly of violence and that police... See, I want to not just say, police are horrible, don't talk to the police. I want to explain why they're horrible. The reason they're horrible is because they foster us against us versus them idea with every member, every person they encounter. They go to classes where they teach, like police training classes now, there's a lot of them that teach. And Philip Castile took one of these classes 2 weeks before he shot this guy, he killed him, where two of the things they told him, one of the things they told him was, you have to, when you encounter any member of the public, you have to consider yourself shooting them and killing them. And that's insane. But even worse than that, they told him, if you ever have to shoot somebody, the next time you make love with your wife, it's going to be the best sex you've ever had, which is just the creepiest thing ever to say. Maybe true, but it's creepy. It sounds like it's an incentive, you know, to shoot.
That's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, so, that's a gentle way of saying it, you know.
Yeah, and more, the people being hired as police aren't the older, like, peace officer kind of people who, you know, really believe they're there to protect and serve. A lot of them are people hired right out of the military who are fresh out of, like, you know, kicking in doors in Fallujah and have that attitude about the general public. And it's a crappy situation. So Philip Castile, this cop shot him. I kind of want to get the name of the cop. So the cop is, I don't know, we'll find it.
I got it almost right here.
Yeah. And the NRA actually finally talked about this. The NRA said that it was a horrible thing, which is kind of surprising. Like, they didn't talk about it. I think it's less about that the guy was black and more about that he was shot by a cop. Because he did everything right, you know, in the eyes of the law. He had a concealed carry permit. I don't really believe in permits, but, you know, I don't believe in... I wouldn't tell someone not to get one in a state that requires one. My state doesn't... Wyoming doesn't require one, so...
Well, speaking of permits, permissions, and licenses, former officer Geronimo Yemez is no longer a police officer.
Well, yeah, the guy who shot him. First, a judge said that he was... You know, it was not homicide, you know, that it was a good shoot, as the police say. You know, this guy should be in prison for the rest of his life and should be working, making license plates and sending his 10 cents an hour to, you know, the family of Castile. But he's not, because the judge always sides with the police. The NRA always sides with the police. That's why I think the NRA, people say, oh, the NRA didn't respond because this is a black guy. No, I think it's because a cop shot him. I really do. I think it's less about him being a black guy and more about that. I gave up my NRA membership like 8 years ago. I canceled it and I wrote him back and I said, like, you know, you guys back the state no matter what. And that's not a good thing. I wrote some long letter to them. They probably just read it and threw it away or didn't even read it. But and then they sent me their magazine for 2 years anyway, that I just to try to get me back. But and so the employer, the guy's police department, recently paid him, gave him a buyout, like basically said, we're going to buy out your contract. We're not going to give you full retirement, but here's a bunch of money. Quit being a cop, which is such a PR kind of thing. Like, you know, well, we can't really fire him. If he fires us, he can sue us. If we fire him, he could sue us. You know, we just want him to, we want this to go away. So they took a bunch of tax money and paid him to go away. But I guess we're burying the lead. What the guy did was, it was a traffic stop. He did what the NRA tells you to do if you're pulled over. They say, you know, quietly put your hands on the steering wheel. Don't fidget. Don't jump. Don't be jumpy. And calmly tell the officer, I'm a concealed carry permit holder and I have my weapon in my front right pocket or wherever it is. And he said that and then the cop shot him, you know. Or the cop asked him for his license or something and he shot him. I can't watch that video either. And you could say, well, if you want to be a journalist, you need to watch that. But I don't really want to be a journalist. I want to be someone who laughs at Western civilization collapsing. But I still think there's more journalism on this show than on a lot of other shows. What
Which is kind of funny because You sent me all this continuity of government stuff to prepare for the show, you know?
Because
I'm just, like, preparing for the next segment.
Because I want to laugh at the absurdity of the continuity of government, of that concept. We can talk about the government. You can't. It's not that you can't mention the government on the Fiends. We mention them often. But I would rather spend our time mostly laughing at the absurdity of them instead of, oh, my God, look what. We used to have a jingle that said, look what Obama's done to you today. And it was in four-part harmony with me and my wife doing two parts each. And we used to play that sometimes with Nima, like 5 years ago on the show, as a joke.
I remember
it. It was like, yeah, I mean, it was a joke. Like, it kind of wasn't a joke, though, because I remember, like, 6 months into Obama, I'm like, oh, my God, he's done more. And, you know, but really, when I think about it, like, he didn't harm me. I didn't get touched. He didn't touch me in bad places. Because I started laughing at the
state,
man. I started laughing at this. Yeah, I started laughing at the puppet show, man. That's the key. That's the key here on the Freedom Fiend. So, yeah, so this cop's going to go probably move to Hawaii and sit on the beach next to you and drink Mai Tais and with little umbrellas in them. And, you know, a citizen would definitely be in prison for life and sending his 10 cents an hour to the family if this
but
the other
Michael,
way
if you just join the right gang... You don't have to deal with that.
The gang in blue, yeah. Uh-huh. And, you know, I know the thing of, like, there should be, you know, there's some good cops. But if there were, good cops should arrest bad cops, but they can't because of the code of silence. So it's kind of hard to say. I want there to be good cops. We read something about a good cop 6 months ago. There's a good cop who turned in some bad cops, and they ended up, like, you know, this person had to quit being a cop because other cops were threatening her family and stuff. So, and... You know, people always say, well, what do you do? You're going to call the cops when you got a problem? No. But, you know, what's my solution? My solution is private. What is the solution? Tell me in 30 seconds what the solution is, Daryl, instead of cops.
Complete polycentric, like, workup of tons of different pluralities of businesses that completely make all government and monopolies obsolete. It all just goes away, just like Blockbuster Video and Betamax tapes. It's that simple.
Nice. And as long as no one has any follow-up questions, we're going to move on to another topic.
It's that easy.
Most shows would spend 2 hours now talking about that, but I don't feel like it. I want to laugh at the state. Worms.
No, I got a whole list of topics, and that's
worms. Right, worms. 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 Oh, meow, meow, meow.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hi, this is Mark Edge of Free Talk Live. Michael W. Dean's book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, changed my life. In a culture that attempts to turn you into a compliant victim, this book gives you implementable steps on everything from how to be aware of your environment walking down the street to business, to how to handle a toxic person in your life. If you're a human, you need to read this book at least once. Go to Amazon and get the Kindle version, or paperback, or an audiobook of A User's Manual for the Human Experience.
Let's pull up the, Tomlitz. Let's pull up the Tomlitz. So, can you see that picture? Let's open up for you.
Oh, I got the Tomlitz.
Yeah, it's like...
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends, by the way.
Yeah. Thank you. I know. I press you guys to be, like, on it and radio-like, and then I'm not, and you guys correct me. That's good. That's how it works, man. All right, so... So who's Tom Woods?
What's your beef with Tom Woods? Who is Tom Woods?
Well, Tom Woods is a very popular... Well, he calls himself an anarchist, but his picture on Twitter, he's standing next to an American flag. So I kind of feel like he's one thing for one audience and one thing for another audience. But even so, I still like his stuff. I think he's... I'm playing him on my Cuss Free Liberty streaming network, which is rebroadcast on some radio stations. And I'm playing that... without permission, because I can and I should, and I'm not making any money at it. So he said that. He said on the show he doesn't care if people reuse his stuff as long as they don't put their ads on it or make money on it. Whereas the Freedom Fiends, we will let you use our stuff even if you make money on it. If you can find a way to take the Freedom Fiends episodes, movies, anything, and sell them and make money, more power to you, because that's how you spread things in this world. Not by putting... as long as you don't make money. That was my problem with Creative Commons, was always the, like, everyone uses the, you know, you can remix, you can reuse, as long as you don't make money on it. And I'm like, I mean, even Richard Stallman, the communist who came up with the GNU license, understands, you know, his license allows commercial reuse because he said that's how you make stuff work. He calls himself a communist or a socialist, but he's not a very good one because he did something really good free markety in the GNU license. But
He did. And I like using the you can make money off of it license.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, then people should use the BIPCOT no government license, which also allows people to make money off reusing stuff. But anybody can reuse and use anything that's covered with a BIPCOT no government license. Learn more at BIPCOT.org, unless they are a member of the government or a contractor for the government. There is an exception for mailmen, though, that you can leave in or take out. By default, it's in. For, like, basically for low-level government employees who aren't carrying the guns for the government or financing the carrying of the guns for the government. You know, and I guess people could make an argument of, well, mailmen, you know, no. I don't care if mailmen listen to this. It's okay.
Tom Woods has something in the 200,000-300,000 downloads a month range on his, you know, as far as traffic goes. Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, he's got traffic. And, he's, you know, with someone who's got a lot of fame, he doesn't have to necessarily focus on making everything perfect, and that would include audio, you know?
Yeah. And, you know... I had the same. So basically, I wrote. This is the second time I've done this. So we're gonna go pretty soon to a break. So this is gonna carry over the break. So let me play this audio of Tom Woods that I was complaining about and telling him he needs to have better audio. And you know, I mean, people could say, well, you're not as popular as him. Who are you to say? Well, I'm a fan, and I, you know, put him on radio without his permission, and therefore he should do me the favor. No, it's not for me. It's not about me, and it's not about, you know, we're going to read some of this stuff later. Like, he totally misunderstood all of the things of my motivation for this, and really, like... I just want him to sound better, man. And he sounded really... He sounds good, but listen to this, his guest.
The rationale of protecting consumers to make sure that people can afford the house that they're buying.
It just doesn't seem like...
See, now he sounds good. This is Tom.
With the other, whether somebody can afford to buy something doesn't seem to have anything to do with putting burdens on you.
Well, right, because I've got news for you. I am far more interested in someone...
This guy sounds like he's through a fuzz box on a guitar that's broken. Plus, on his end, there's like... It sounds like rain or pee or something. Listen.
Is it the bank that's then going to sell that pool of notes off to Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, or somewhere else?
This is really good for 1987.
To make the payments to-
yeah, it's not even good for 1987. Back in 1987, most audio was good because the means of production hadn't gotten so cheap that everybody, you know, could own a good microphone and, you know, didn't need to own mechanical stuff to multi-track record or to record or to do a radio show or to do a show. So basically in 1987, the only people generally making audio that would end up to where you would hear it or we would hear it are people who were recording engineers. You know, I started recording with bands in 1984, and we used to have to go pay, you know, $50 an hour or $30 an hour to go use a studio somewhere, and that was cheap. But now anybody can do it. And the thing he doesn't realize is, like, he can fix this. You know, and I have this saying, anything on your RSS feed is your responsibility. Like, I'll even say that with me about Fiend shows that I'm not on. And that's why I, like, train everyone well and kind of meow, ride people to be good, you know.
And that's why we'll be back to figure out overpopulation.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
I love the Freedom Fiends, but in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to the Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
Wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
Yep.
Word.
Freedom Fiends. We're talking about pod beefs on the radio. Pod beefs. So rap beef is a term when rappers fight. Sometimes they shoot each other, allegedly. But, you know, back in the day, I think rap beefs are still popular. You know, where, like, some rapper disses some other rapper in an interview, you know, disrespects him for those listening on radio. Disrespects him. Sorry. And, you know, the other rapper responds usually in an interview, and it goes back and forth. It used to be East Coast, West Coast, but now it's everybody. And I get a lot of beefs over the years, not like every day, but I get a lot of beefs with other people who do Liberty Media, because I'm basically telling them they're doing it wrong. But a lot of people do it wrong. You know, and people, you know, I've actually had people say, well, if you're doing it so right, why don't you have more listeners? You know, why aren't you huge like Stefan Molyneux or Tom Woods? And I would say, you know, popularity doesn't really mean that much, I think. I mean, you know, communism is popular. Hillary Clinton is popular, far more popular than either of those guys. But we have our audience, and we brought a lot of people to Liberty, and I feel good about that. So, I don't really have any, like, moral problems with Tom Woods. Like, I have moral problems with Stefan Molyneux, and I have moral problems with Jeff Berwick, and a lot of other rock stars of Liberty. Because really, like, in anything, usually the crap floats to the top. But Tom Woods is good. I like him. He's solid. You know, when he starts talking a lot about the South and stuff like that, I kind of tune out, because I don't know. I'm not proud of the Confederacy like he is. But
he's
not
proud
a dig.
Of the Confederacy?
That's not a dig. Yeah, yeah. He's a member of some Southern organization that, you know, it's a bunch of Southern gentlemen who want the South to rise again. I forget the name of them. I could look it up. I'm not using euphemisms. I'm not saying he's a member of the KKK. I'm saying, like, you know, he's a member of some Southern organization that Southern men get together and display the Confederate flag and talk about the good old days of the South. And I don't really have a problem with that. You know, I don't think it harms anybody. I mean, there's people.
No,
like,
he can like what he wants.
Yeah. I mean, that organization is on the Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, list of horrible organizations, but, you know, so is Ron Paul, and I'm not big enough.
No.
I would love to be. That's my goal. My goal isn't to make a lot of money. It's not to be as popular as Tom Woods. It's to be on the SPLC hate list, even though I don't hate anyone except Tom Woods' audio. So I like him. I listen to his show. I don't listen to it that much. It's kind of more for noobs, you know. It's kind of like Liberty 101. Like, it's the introductory and intermediate to Liberty. And I feel like the Freedom Fiends have transcended the advanced and gone past grad school and dropped out and smoked a bunch of dope and gotten sober. And, you know, now we're like the Cheech and Chong of Liberty, maybe, which is far better than the College of Liberty. But he is a professor at a non-accredited college that's a good college. And he's written a bunch of books. He's been on the New York Times bestseller list. Like, he's solid. That's what I could say about him. So he's totally misunderstanding my motivation with, you know, gently poking fun at his bad audio to try to get him to change it. This is the second time I've done it. Now, I will say this. He thinks I'm somebody. He doesn't think I'm a nobody. Unlike the one person who responded. See, one of the reasons I know a lot of his fans probably feel the same way about this is only one of his fans jumped to his defense when I said he had bad audio of his, you know, 52,000 Twitter followers or whatever. Only one of them, like, took me to task, and the rest were like, ugh, I know, but, you know, Okay.
Yeah. It's what we deal with, Michael.
Yeah. So let's read this. We're going to do this like a little play. It's the whole Twitter. I think this is the Twitter thing, and I hope this is in order. It's kind of hard with Twitter because, like, you know, one person responds to another, and it's not really a linear thread, and I had to copy and paste several things into this. Oh, the other guy, he did do something that happens all the time. This is like the Molyneux fans do this with everybody. They go like, well, what's your show called? And I say, Freedom Fiends. He said, never heard of it. He asked me what it was called so he could say never heard of it. Not Tom Woods, his one fan that defended him on this. And
yeah.
I looked up his stuff and I wanted to say, well, the reason you've never heard of it is we don't sit around talking all day about race realism like the people you like on Twitter. So, you know, the guy looked like a alt-writer. Tom Woods is liked by some alt-writers, but he's not alt-right. But anyway, so I put on July 17th, one of three, Tom Woods is a hate crime, all caps, and then listen to guest on this, and then I put a link, and then I said, in all caps, bad audio is a hate crime, and then the hashtag, which everyone should use on bad audio, after they say bad audio is a hate crime, is hashtag B-A-I-A-H-C, bad audio is hate crime. Okay, so you're going to do Tom Woods. What do you say?
Absolutely.
Go ahead. Tom Woods, reply.
Well,
you there?
Guy was on a landline because I'm sorry.
Okay,
guy was on a
Tom
landline.
Woods. Go ahead, Tom Woods.
Tom Woods. Guy was on a landline because Skype wouldn't work for him. When you put out six podcasts a week, things happen.
Yeah, the problem he's okay. Let me just read it and then I'll comment on it. I replied weak. And then later I replied, even a landline can sound far better than that. It's a poor workman who blames his tools. And then I said, you are responsible. I mean, this sounds like a lot of tweets on my part, but it's really like, it'd be like a one paragraph, one too long paragraph comment on Facebook. But on Twitter, you have to break it up. So I said, you are responsible for all audio you put out. You can help guests fix this before you record. It's weak to blame it on the guest. It's on you. And I said, it's ironic that you're blaming the guest because every word out of your mouth on your show is about taking responsibility for all you do. And Tom Woods said,
yes, I could use your software and require both people to use it, but that would drastically cut down the number of guests I can have.
And I replied, this isn't about my show, and and you should not use FiendPhone. It's not good with different guests every day. It has a learning curve. You know, it's better for a show like this where we have 15 co-hosts, two or three at a time, in different locations. Because it takes about an hour to get someone up and running with FiendPhone, and it's worth it. But it is not something for, you know, where you have a different guest every day. And he's assuming I'm saying that. So I said, you know, okay, instead of just complaining to him, I described how to do it. I said, tip, when the audio is iffy, do a sound check. Tell the person and talk and record 20 seconds. Play back. Adjust recording volume and his distance to the phone mic. And then I said, let's see, okay, then the next thing we already said, it was in here twice. So then what did he say?
Tom said, I wouldn't really use the word blame because I don't really think this is as a moral problem. I'm describing the circumstances.
And I said, fair enough, but you could prevent this from happening if you take 2 minutes to sound check, playback check, and adjust recording level, etc. Which I just said to him in another one, but I wanted to respond again because he obviously didn't get it or internalize it. And then, this is pretty funny, his last post. Go ahead.
Michael, you have a much better show than I do, and everyone should stop listening to me and listen to you. Will you leave me alone now? I'm taking my toys and going home.
I think that should be a blurb on my upcoming book. Michael, you have a much better show than I do, and everyone should stop listening to me and listen to you, Tom Woods. I'm going to use that on the back of my new show. That's my new book. That's pretty funny, man. All right, so first of all, he thinks I'm important because he said on a recent show, very recent, and I'm paraphrasing, but this was the exact vibe of it. He said something like, he was talking to somebody else who does a show. I forget who it was, but they were talking about, you know, trolls on the internet, he said. And he said, and I'm not a troll, but I think he's thinking I'm a troll here. I'm trying to improve the audio of Liberty in general. But so he said on his show to this other guy, you know, he's like, I get 50 times a day some idiot says something bad to me, you know, and hundreds of times a day people say something good to me. So the idiots are just idiots, and in most cases they don't even have anything to say, and they're nobody, and I shouldn't listen to them, you know, and when they're nobody, I don't reply. Now, if there's somebody, and people have heard of them, you know, and they say something, I kind of feel like I have to reply, but, you know, the nobodies, I don't reply. So he thinks I'm a somebody. This isn't about that, though. I'm not like, oh, Tom Woods likes me. He's scared of me. It's nothing like that. I try to make suggestions for people, and I've made suggestions before where I'm not snitty, where I'm just like, hey, you know, I have a suggestion for you. You know, Tom Woods actually wanted me to help with his audio a long time ago, and it just didn't happen. And he, you know, he got someone else to help him with it, and the person actually got his audio really good. He used to sound bad, and his guests used to sound bad. Now he sounds almost stellar, like really good, and his guests sound anywhere from pretty darn good to horrible, like this one. And it's about once a month or twice a month out of, you know, 24 shows a month, so 1 in 12, so like, you know, 8% or something of his guests sound horrible. And it's so easy to not have this happen. I mean, there's kind of a hierarchy of this, of like what you should use for which kind of host. You know, it's basically, If you can, you should use FiendPhone. But, you know, for most people, especially if they're doing something like this, they're not going to use FiendPhone. They're going to be using Skype. So, you know, best is Skype using a good microphone. Second best is probably Skype using a good headset. Third is, you know, like the worst is using a landline. But here's the thing, too. Like, the guy was using a landline, but I can still get... Anybody who tries can still get better audio out of someone using a landline in an interview than this. Like, for one thing, I think the guy was using speakerphone.
Yeah.
I'd tell him to take off speakerphone, you know.
Do you think Tom misinterpreted your intention in your wanting to help him out?
Yeah. I think, well, he kind of goes to 11 sometimes, too. And, you know, I think part of that, too, is people, and I suffer from this a little bit, too, is like when you do a bunch of projects on a daily basis that go over a period of years, you get really narrow-sighted. Like, my thing, I'm winning because I'm getting everything done and doing it well, and anything that kind of ruffles it just kind of feels like, you know, and makes you just want to respond like, because it gets in your way. You know, I mean, I'll say this. So if Tom Woods, I'm not going to type this all up for them, it'd be too much, but if he wants to talk to me on Skype for 10 minutes or 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes it would take, and I will be gentle, I will be kind, and I will tell everything I know that I think would help him, and he will, if he does it all, he'll never have a problem with audio again. Otherwise, you know, he can just continue to suck 8% of the time. All right.
I just love me some good pod beef.
Pod beef.
Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Yeah, we're pros. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of pros, James Weeks decided to finally honor us with his presence. Why were you late, James?
I'm sleeping.
You're sleeping? Don't you have an alarm?
I do. I'm going to blame that. Blame my tools.
Yeah, it's a poor workman who blames his tools, like I told
pulling a Tom Woods.
Tom Woods, man. Yeah. I use two alarms when I have to get up. On the rare occasion I have to get up for something. Well, you know, other than the Fiends. There's continuity of Fiends, so the Fiends can go on without me. But, you know, if I have to go to, like, court or doctor, something important, I set my phone alarm and, you know, one of those $10 Walmart digital clocks that I've had for years. I had one of those that I had for 25, like when I was trying to get off drugs the first time in 91, I finally got off in 94, but I was going to a day rehab in 91 and, didn't have an alarm clock. And my girlfriend at the time bought me an alarm clock, and I had that alarm clock until like 2 years ago. And then it finally died. That's a heck of an alarm. And it was one of those like $7 Walgreens or Walmart, you know? So anyway,
lasts
what you
for
say?
Quite a while.
Yeah, keeps on not ticking. But
apparently, the alarm I'm using right now is not working, so I'm gonna have to go out and buy a new one.
Yes, yeah, so get about a half inch further off your mic there, James, because you got a little plosives.
Got it.
Not explosives. We're going to talk about the Anarchist Cookbook in the second hour, but we want to talk about, for the short segment, we're going to talk about continuity of fiends, I mean, continuity of government. So if you guys get a chance to see this video, I'll put it in the show notes, about continuity of government, explaining it.
Oh, that was cute. Yeah.
It was cute.
It was cute.
It was adorable. Yeah.
It was adorable because it was so, like, as if they're going to give me the real plans for what they're actually going to do.
I know.
I'm not that credible for that kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of like they want to be impressive. Like, we have underground bases, and here's four of them. And I'm like, four out of,
well,
like,
I think they are 40, kind of. I think they are kind of at least admit that we're not that important in the case of a thermonuclear war with Russia, because they have bunkers, but for the most important people in government and military, not for the plebs. You know, we're supposed to go to the library and go to the fallout shelter in the basement. And then
we're supposed to duck under our wooden desks.
I had those drills. I was like the last generation. They had those drills.
You were the duck and cover drill generation?
Yeah, I was the tail end of it. I had them in kindergarten. In, you know, 1969, never had them after that. People I know had them after that, but it's because they lived in California and there were earthquakes where it actually makes sense to duck and cover. Ducking and covering in a nuclear blast is just, isn't that cute?
It's so you're secured. Under the desk so they can find your body better.
Oh, my God. That is funny. That actually makes a lot of sense, man.
That's all that's for.
They can find the identification of your kin. That's so
they got it. They got the assigned seating list. They can look where your body's at.
They can ID you. Yeah. I'm trying something I've never done, which is I'm using the Chromebook text typing feature, and I've got a Chromebook in front of me, and it's transcribing everything I say. But it works really well. I transcribed like a half page of text the other day, and it didn't get one word wrong. It even got Freedom Fiends right. But that's because Google's constantly spying on me and knows everything I do, and I'm logged in as me. But I've been messing around with speech to text since like 1996, probably, because I've always been interested in it because I write the way people talk because I hear it in my head like I'm saying it, and I kind of feel like I'm talking to an imaginary person, which is the audience of what I'm writing. You know, whether it's a book or whether it's a Facebook post, I really, you know, kind of try hard. I try to make them good. I try to make it all good. Try to get rid
of
typos.
Didn't you write Universal Preferable Behavior? Wasn't that one of yours, Michael?
No.
Are
you serious?
I thought that. I'm totally not.
You're joking.
So, yeah.
I wrote
Absolutely.
A book with a sort of similar title that I think came out before that. When did, you know, James, you know when that plagiaristic thing about Universally Preferable Behavior by... what's the guy's Molyneux? Stefan Molyneux?
I have no clue when that came out. I don't
know. We'll look it up. We'll find out.
I'm looking it up right now, though.
No, I wrote a user's manual for the human experience.
It's the same thing.
Looking it up.
No,
right
it's not. No, it's not. Although mine does involve defooing, but I don't use that word, and I don't tell you to defoo people if they like the government only.
2013.
My book came out 7 years ago. When was that? Yeah, 2000.
Before that.
No, 2011, yeah.
2010, 11.
Let me look it up. We'll see.
No, your book beat him.
Yeah. He's copying me. He's plagiarizing me and Mises and Kant, Immanuel Kant. Wait, can you say that on radio, James?
I don't have the app up.
You should have the app up.
Get that app fired up.
Can you say that on radio?
Immanuel Kant.
My fellow sheep.
Election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Who's going to do the intro? In a minute. Who's doing the intro? Who's
going to do it?
Who's a good boy? Who's a good one? Yeah. Good intro.
All right. Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon. I had top financial beast Plaza and artificial satellite Libertaire 2017 in Alpha Centauri region.
Yeah.
Please insert the purple wire in your cortex now.
Can you say that on radio?
The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
I will. Thank you. You know, all right, let's talk about Tom Woods, maybe triggered. All right, so. We're going to talk about continuity government for a couple minutes, and then we're going to talk about why the Anarchist Cookbook should have been put out under the BIPCOT no government license. Well, it didn't exist because it was about 45 years before the BIPCOT no government license existed. But
should have time traveled.
So continuity of government is this plan. And like Daryl said, oh, and we do want to welcome Belfouche.
Welcome, Belfouche, South Dakota.
Sundance, Wyoming, and welcome, all Sundance, little towns Wyoming. Around there, like Crook, Wyoming. I like that. Crook County, Wyoming.
Crook.
Yeah. Welcome. You imagine being a politician in Crook County, Wyoming?
Welcome, Crook County.
It'd be truth in advertising. Not just that county. All politicians are crooks. But, yeah, this thing with the auto type on the Chromebook, it keeps stopping. I'm going to have to change the settings at some point. It doesn't know how to just sit there quietly like a good secretary and transcribe a whole show. But it's doing pretty good. And I'm going to put this transcription of the whole show that's not entirely accurate because it's voice-to-text, but it's more accurate than any voice-to-text I've used. Like, you know, Daryl said you used to have to talk like a New Yorker robot, right? How would you get imitate
that
for me?
Yeah, I had to really emphasize my words. Christopher Walken style, almost.
Yeah.
Voice to text has really come a long way.
Oh man, so
probably
far.
Due to Google constantly spying on us.
yeah. But it's also, and it's free. Google's is free. I'm using the one on the Chromebook, and it's free, and it's better than, like, you know, Drag and Dictate, which I had a long time ago, and you have to train it. And if I'd actually paid for it, it would have been like $399. Now they have ones that are like $40, but they go up to like $2,000 because they have ones that have like all the medical words or all the legal words.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can put whatever words you want in your Google Dictionary, too.
Except the F word and the SH word.
You can change that. There's a setting for that.
You can in your phone. You can in your phone, but you can't in your Chromebook. And the reason they do not in the Chromebook is because they use what people do voice to text to train their, you know, universal Borg. And they don't want, like, you know, someone to say, Forget about it and have it type something else that's, you know, a slur against men of the gay persuasion, or, you know, they don't want it to correct when someone says Shiite Muslim to say something else. So yeah, like there's like 50 words you can't say on Chrome. It'll just type the first letter and then asterisks for each letter. I'm watching it right now. Type asterisks for each letter on the screen. Yeah. You know, it's another thing too, why this stuff works a lot better now is computers are faster. I mean, this is using, you know, Google's supercomputers, but it also is having to use my computer to get it there. And, you know, like, I tried this on my 4-gig Chromebook and my 2-gig Chromebook. They both type as well as correct as each other, but the 4-gig one keeps up more with real time, like actually is typing what I'm talking when I'm talking it. You know, the other one's like lagging behind because it doesn't have enough memory to pump it over to the Borg, over to Skynet, over to Google. So what's continuity of government, gentlemen? For those just joining us, we watched a really charming little movie on YouTube about it that looked, it sounded kind of like a really well-written 11th grade paper. You know, it's about 20 minutes long. It explained continuity of government. Someone want to explain what that is?
I'm ready to explain it. Well, just like you wrote in your autobiography, universal preferable government, I think, Michael, basically. So,
ew! Not a guarantee. Allegedly.
You know, when you have is, you have all these people that are rulers that everyone gets to pick, and then if anyone happens to, you know, eliminate one of them, well, then the other one steps forward, and there's a nice little list of the 19 or so of them, and they all gather together at each... what's it called? The State of the Union address. There's all of them except for one of them.
Say that, others could say that gulch where they drink owl blood.
They all go to Laurel Canyon where they have rituals that involve a bunch of people getting killed. No,
allegedly.
Yeah.
No, on the State of the Union, all of them are gathered at the State except of the Union one. Address except one.
They have a designated ruler, a designated tyrant who's somewhere else.
And I was thinking, that guy is really incentivized to sort of say, okay, I set it all up. I'm taking over today. You know, if that was what the puppet show is really a puppet show. I know. Did I go too far this time?
No.
That was my take. What's your take, James?
That sounds pretty accurate. That's the one, you got to watch out for that one guy who's not there.
That is an incentive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Make sure that guy's not power hungry. Which kind guy of, is it who doesn't go? Is it
the
random
retarded cousin?
Or is it?
I don't
think
they say who it is.
You know, is it like randomly chosen? Which one doesn't go? I wonder.
I don't know.
Maybe they showed in the video. I was going to say
that's
it.
What the NS. That's what the NSA computers do. Actually, is just totally random number generator. That whole building is just computers to choose which of the 50 people it is. Yeah,
that would be funny. Yeah, it's just a random, just a giant random number generator. Yep. Pick who doesn't show up. I mean, that's the only way to make that secure, so that one guy doesn't get power hungry.
Yeah,
you know, it's on the morning of, boom, here you go, generate the number.
Yep, that'd be good. I don't know, but they're all power hungry. When people get to the position of those, I can only find a list of the top 17, but there's supposed to be 50 people. So I still think we're bearing the lead. The idea of continuity of government is a line of succession, not a line of secession, but of succession. I'm sure a lot of governments have this, but the U.S. government has one that's like in writing and public. It's like vice president, president, vice president, speaker of the house. I don't even know, but there's a whole bunch of them. But they get down to like, you know, vice secretary of the Department of Agriculture, I think is one of them. But so do you know the one time this is important in history, in United States history, when this actually, there's two times it's actually been important. Do you guys know what they are?
The assassination of JFK.
No, the assassination that wasn't of really Lincoln. Important. Of Lincoln.
Oh,
well, that wasn't, this had nothing to do with that, really. I mean, it has been invoked a few times. I was going to say the other time is when Dick Cheney was actually the president of the United States for about 4 hours.
9/11?
When George Bush had to have heart surgery and he was unconscious. Mm-hmm. They had to swear in Cheney as the president and then unswear him in. And I think they added an amendment for that. I think there's an amendment that deals with that because there wasn't anything in place for that. But no, with Kennedy, I mean, with Lincoln, they were trying to kill like six or seven people in the line of succession until it got to a Southern Democrat. Yeah, that's, they don't teach you that in school a lot because they don't want you to think, wait, could that work? No, but they tried to kill him, and they tried to kill the vice president, and they tried to kill Seward, William Seward, the guy who bought Alaska, the United States. I used to live in his house. He built a house right before he became president in Westfield, New York. And huge mansion. I used to live there alone with my dad. He was the Google Seward Mansion or Seward House, Westfield, New York. It's now a bed and breakfast. But my dad and I lived there for 9 months, right after my parents got divorced. because my dad was the real estate agent selling it, and the lady who owned it was in California, and she let him stay in it to like keep the, you know, keep the pipes on so it wouldn't freeze, you know, and keep it from getting broken into and messed up, because it's kind of in the middle of nowhere out of town. But yeah, man, that's a cool place. But yeah, they were trying to kill like, I don't know, it was three or four or five, you know, of the Republicans until they got to a Southern Democrat. So that was the one time. Then the other time, yeah. And, well, there was a lot of actually, on when Kennedy was killed, LBJ was sworn in on the plane, like leaving Dallas, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I think he was. Yeah.
Yeah, like as they were leaving Dallas.
With the widow's blessing, allegedly.
Well, yeah. She was in the room.
She should have said, too soon.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, so, she was in the room. I've seen there's pictures of it, of him getting sworn in there with the wife right there.
Yep. The adorable thing about this whole thing, and we're using adorable in kind of a like insulting way in case people don't get that, but the adorable thing about this video that I'll link on YouTube that we watched about the line of succession is, I mean, the guy who made this obviously likes the government. He's obviously interested in civics, and it sounded like an adult, and it was well put together and well researched of what's available and what they actually tell you. But at the end of it, he said something like, he was talking about the line of succession isn't only about people, and it's also about, like, you know, getting the generals to the right bunker and, you know, getting the people needed to run a skeleton crew government to the bunkers, and then everyone else can just fend for themselves in the post-apocalyptic lib pair. But one of the funny things I thought was, it isn't just about people, it's about documents, because part of the plans for line of succession include, like, getting the original, or what they call the original, they're actually a bunch of copies, but the copy of the Declaration of Independence, the United States Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, getting them, you know, like sealed, hermetically sealed in helium, inert gas, you know, protecting them, get them out of Washington too, like if Washington's being bombed. And he said something about, like, because, you know, Americans need to know, what did he say? It basically boiled down to, all governments are a collective hallucination, and we have to preserve that hallucination. Do you guys remember the wording near the end of that thing? I hear crickets. Literally.
Are you kidding me?
I hear crickets.
I'm thinking about it. I was following you, Michael, and I just thought the whole thing was a bit like kind of fear porn, you know? Takes the listener, it takes the viewer just through a process of multiple times. It shows the cartoons of the nuclear explosion or the virus
duck and cover,
that kills everyone,
actually,
or didn't they? And they also show the robot, like the robots take over. They show each of like the big major fears that like sci-fi nerds or credible people might actually fear based on the singularity and things like that.
Yeah.
And I thought of it as just like a really like a emotional engineering, you know.
Yeah.
And
I'm
not going to fall for that.
They said that this is all required because people need to know that the idea of America will carry on. Yeah, and he talked about, you know, how we'll come back. We'll talk about it.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Now a word from our sponsor, Colloidal Uranium Enemas, to keep away the New World Order.
Wow. Really? Too soon, man. I like saying too soon for things where there's really not time involved. I think that's funny.
I like talking about universal preferable government.
that's what you, yeah. Well, actually, that should be the title. Speaking of next books, I just posted this blurb out of context on Facebook of Tom Woods saying, Michael, you have a much better show than I do, and everyone should stop listening to me and listen to you. Will you leave me alone now? And a bunch of people posted, like, that's funny, but I thought this was out of context. I thought this was, you know, this isn't real, right? I'm like, no, it's real. It's just out of context. And I put the link. So I think that should be the blurb on the back of my next book. And, you know,
yeah, that should be the quote. Just put that.
Well,
reviews, put that on there.
You know, there's a review. I just republished on Kindle my first book, two books of mine. User's Manual for the Human Experience is on Kindle, and Starving the Company of Beautiful Women, my novel, first novel from the year 2000. And I went through them. I did a lot of like fixing stuff on them. And in the first novel, it was mostly fixing typos because I knew how to write, but I didn't know how to proofread yet in the year 2000. And in the second one, I basically just like update a lot of links that don't work. And something I found out about links that's interesting is links of commercial sites from 6 years ago, 7 years ago are still up, and links from a lot of personal sites are not. What does that say about the free market?
It says people don't keep their sites up.
Yeah. If they don't have any money to do it. Nope. I saw something today. Steve Miller posted something to me that he found somewhere on some lefty, you know, Occupy something site. It said, our movement only, you know, they were talking about their local movement, but they sounded like the worldwide movement. They said, our movement only has one working car, and now it's not working. If anyone can donate time or knows a mechanic that'll work for trade for vegetables or what, you know, it's like, yeah, communism. They have one working car, and now it's not working. That explains a lot. So,
so when you want to transition, in the guy who owns the website, right?
yeah, that's a movement now. But
I think we were trying to transition over from government, and when you want a government to work, you need explosives. So how are you going to get explosives? Then you need.
I'm going to say a disclaimer about that. Oh, that was bad. We do not recommend exploding things that you don't know.
I don't recommend exploding
don't try
things.
But home. If you
there you go.
If you want to be a government though, and I don't.
Yeah. For educational purposes only.
I'm just throwing all the warnings. Let's throw all the warnings at this for this segment.
Ask an adult before ordering.
Yeah. All right, I think we're pretty well covered for the
slavers. That's bad audio. That's enough bad audio. Yeah. But that's good audio, but when you hold a phone up to, you know, it doesn't sound that good. So there's this book called The Anarchist Cookbook that came out in like 1971, something like that. And I never had that book. I did have Steal This Book, which those two books together, Steal This Book by Abby Hoffman and Anarchist Cookbook by dude in this movie. What's his name? Someone want to look it up? I don't want to Google Anarchist Cookbook.
I forget the guy's name.
So those two books, like, you know, those two books and Mao's Little Red Book were like, you know, those three books and you could be a revolutionary in the 60s. And that's a big problem I had with a lot of revolutionaries in the 60s, other than like using violence against people and indiscriminate violence against people. They also, they wanted government and they wanted communism. And a lot of them weren't protesting the Vietnam War because it was war. They're protesting because A, they were being sent there. And a lot of the protesters stopped as soon as they got rid of the draft. And wasn't that a libertarian's idea? Didn't Nixon have a libertarian economics advisor that told him, hey, just end the draft and you can do whatever you want? I think he did.
Probably the best thing that ever happened there.
Yeah. What's that, Daryl?
I was just looking up that William Powell wrote The Anarchist Cookbook.
Okay, and William Powell. So there's a movie called American Anarchist, which is a really bizarre title for this book, for this movie. And I have a lot of problems with this movie. And this is going to go in the next segment for sure. But who watched the movie?
I watched the movie for the most part, yeah.
I didn't.
Did you get to the part where they started telling him all of the people who have blown things up and shot people and shot up schools recently who, you know, the police said they found a copy of the Anarchist Cookbook at their house. And he's like, I didn't know that, and got sad.
No, I didn't get to that part, but I don't see how that has anything to do with his book. I mean, you could say that with just about, they probably found the Bible in there too.
Hey, the Unabomber had a copy of Al Gore's book and it was the only book he had. Right. That's truth. Yep. Worms.
terms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
How about a warning? You're about to share with my friend Michael W. Dean, a survivor, thinks about humanity and his methods for dealing with it. Brace yourself for some bare-naked honesty. If you're willing to hear what Michael is saying, there are times when you'll laugh and times when you want to cry in the retelling of his truths. He has defined it so you can feel it. Take his example and live. I warned you earlier because this book is written in the same way Michael speaks. He's a straight shooter, a no-pretense, a no-excuses kind of guy that I love like a brother. Understanding how we are to deal with negative people, Michael has answers for you. The human race has its aberrations and monsters, and unfortunately, sometimes they are close to you. Michael gives you his take on them and how he handles the noise. I can guarantee you will pick up a tool to use from a user's manual for the human experience. As Michael says, his life is a teaching hospital.
A user's manual for the human experience. Kindle, paperback, and audiobook. Get it now on Amazon.
Yep.
Worms. So, let me give people a little internet lesson here. Several people are saying, I can't see this comment Tom Woods made to you. And a lot of times when there's Twitter's weird. Lot, you know, one of the reasons Twitter's not that popular is because it's hard to use, to actually, like, do anything other than just tweet on it. And I haven't even figured it all out, and I've actually tried. It's complicated. But it's but that's cool because it means there's usually more smarter people on there, and there's less like screeching arguments because you don't have enough characters screeching argument. But sometimes to see conversations between two people on Facebook, I mean, you on Twitter, you can do like secret one to one, but if you do it just on the page, and you if you start it with an ampersand, their name, like hashtag, or no, an ampersand and their name, like their name. The only people that can see it are people that are subscribed to, that follow both of you. And then also, sometimes you have to go to not just their tweets, but the middle thing at the top, tweets and replies. It says tweets and replies, and media. You want to look at tweets and replies, but I'll put the link for this in the show notes and screenshots. But we're talking about the Anarchist Cookbook. So it's this book written in the 70s that basically it's supposed to be a handbook for revolution. It tells you how to make bombs and how to shoot people. And I think it has stuff about how to make drugs, too, which I think that most hardcore revolutionaries would argue really don't have a place in an active revolution. Yeah.
But I love Mark Edge Googling's reply to Tom Woods.
What do you say?
It says, can you give Free Talk Live a similar endorsement?
And Mark Edge Googling is not Mark Edge. It's and it's kind of funny because the guy who sold it, like, had an auction to raise money for something and raised, $20 for something. Yeah, like a bunch of people tried to buy it for $1. And then I think he bought it himself. I think it was just to, like, so people wouldn't know it was him doing it, or I don't know what the ploy was, but it was pretty funny. But he did get $20 for something good. I forget what. So the Anarchist Cookbook. Oh, and Mark Edge Googling is not Mark Edge. I just want to say that, but it might be.
Allegedly.
I don't know that it's not. Yeah. So the Anarchist Cookbook is one of those books that, like, mentioning it gets you on a list. Googling it gets you on a list. Buying a copy on Amazon definitely gets you on a list. And the first thing about you people should know about this book is, first of all, the information is not secret. The guy went to the public library and spent a few weeks copying stuff out of books in a public library, including, this is kind of funny, manual, like army field manuals by the U.S. government.
That's where most of his, like, the military kind of stuff comes from, the explosives and weaponry stuff. It's all just military manuals that you can get at, army, what do you call it, army surplus store.
Yeah.
For like $1. You can go and buy the books he copied from.
I've only ever seen a copy of the book once. I've seen a few copies of Steal This Book, and I had a copy of Steal This Book. But the Anarchist Cookbook, the only time I ever saw a copy of it was like about 8 years ago at a gun show. And it was being sold on a table with a bunch of other books, including the army manuals that it's taken from by this really, this like sweet little old lady. It was this old lady. This lady's like 75 years old, and she's writing like all these books on how to maim and kill and overthrow and torture and extract like the U.S. Army manual on extracting information from prisoners. And,
well, Michael, what you need is a nice improvised exactly. device.
That's how she seemed.
Let me help you with that, young man.
Seemed like that.
That's about how I, the last time I saw that book, well, actually the first and last time I ever saw that book in person was also at a gun show by a sweet little, it was like an old, like 70-year-old selling that, and it was in the same, I wonder if it was the same person, like that just travels around the country.
Oh, there's people that travel the country.
Yeah, it might have been the same person that traveled around the country, because they had it the same in Iraq with all the military manuals that it copied stuff from.
Yep.
I like you, James. Let me show you how to give people diarrhea.
Wow. I like your little old lady imitation. It's sweet.
Thank you. It is sweet.
It's not it's mean, cute. And I like that. It's cute. Yeah. And this lady was also a Christian too. She had some book, like she's wearing a cross around her neck, and she had a book about, like, you know, why Christian, a couple books I think about why Christians must be armed, you know, to like be onward Christian soldiers, you know, with AK-47s and AR-15s kind of thing. Good for her. So anyway.
Yeah, good for her. I'm glad she's prepared.
This book is bigger than life. Like, the book itself is just kind of boring, poorly written, mostly plagiarized.
And most of the stuff is really out of date.
Yeah. Well, now, there's also, you know, I also have this theory that you always hear, like, oh, the guy that shot up the school and the FBI found a copy of the Anarchist Cookbook. I have a theory that they plant it there, that sometimes they find it. But I think that one of the reasons it's still a bestseller is I think that the federal government buys 10,000 copies a year so they can plant it at crime scenes. Or
no one buys it.
No one buys it. They download it. Yeah. But, you know, and Vice Magazine actually did an article a while back that said they tried a bunch of the stuff in it, a bunch of the like smoke bombs and explosives and stuff. And like they said, like they did them all right. And they said like half of them didn't work. And I believe Vice Magazine more than I believe the federal government. I think Vice Magazine is less likely to lie and more likely to have my best interests in mind.
Well, why wouldn't people just go to YouTube and just watch them with good video descriptions show you how to make explosives? It's all right there. Why would we people not, go
don't
to this?
Try this at home, James. What do you think? Daryl keeps bringing up explosives. Allegedly. Like, I'm going to keep just doing this.
I have no interest in making explosives.
Don't try this at home.
Always stroke head to tail.
Don't try this at home.
Please. Always stroke head to tail.
All right.
There we go.
So,
all right, we're thoroughly disclaimer.
Last one especially.
Yeah. Well, I think the reason is because, like I said, I think this book is larger than life, and I think that the information in the book isn't nearly as socially relevant or important or accurate as the cult of personality around this book. Like, you know, when in the 70s, like I heard of people who had this book, and just hearing that someone had this book, the Anarchist Cookbook, like told you something about the person. You know, it'd be kind of like if someone said, oh, yeah, he collects Nazi memorabilia. You know, you'd probably have an image of that person, but and they might just collect Nazi memorabilia. But, you know, if someone had this book, you were like, oh, they're a scary person or something, you know?
Not a guarantee.
Do you remember that Dianne Feinstein went on a big crusade? I hadn't thought about this book in decades.
And then all of a sudden you saw this documentary?
No, I saw this documentary this week. This weekend. Dianne Feinstein, about 2 or 3 years ago, suddenly said, we have to outlaw this book. Do you remember that?
What book?
Well, in that case, I think I might have to order a copy of it by going to the gun show and finding that sweet old lady again.
Maybe it's Dianne Feinstein's sister.
What if it was? What if it's Dianne Feinstein's sister, and Dianne Feinstein is only trying to drive up sales?
Allegedly.
That's believable. I believe it. Allegedly. Yeah.
That's basically what prohibition does, is it drives up the sales.
Just a joke.
Yeah. Just a joke. Yeah. So the guy who wrote this book is ashamed of this book. And here's what happened. So he says in this documentary, he was an angry young man. He wrote this book because he didn't like that, you know, the police were just beating up people in the streets, peaceful protesters, which was true. That. Government was sending people to war to die. They're not sending people so much anymore, but people volunteer because the government's wrecked the economy so much that there's a poverty draft. Some people are so poor, it's the only way they can help their families. Deal dope, you know, really. And dealing dope is the more honorable profession.
Yep. Deal dope, don't join the military.
That's a t-shirt. Make that. Make it right now.
For educational purposes only.
I'm going to make that right now.
Head to tail.
I'm going to make that shirt right now.
Yeah, please do. So, because I'm going to rant for about 5 minutes and then let you guys do the closing argument. So that's enough time to make the t-shirt. So I had some problems with this documentary. First of all, they pretty much only interviewed one person. The whole documentary is interviewing the guy. Why not interview the publisher? Why not interview the second publisher? Why not interview victims' families of people who were killed by people who allegedly had this book? Why? He actually in the movie, he tries to write and then call Dianne Feinstein from France. He lives in France now, and I think he's British. He's British, grew up in part Britain, part in America, lives in France, married to a woman who's French. I think was French. She had a weird accent. At one point, he's like, okay, they're like, okay, what are we going to do? Dianne Feinstein is trying to outlaw this book. He wanted to join her crusade in outlawing this book he wrote. That's square, man. And he tried to call her, and basically, like, her receptionist said, you know, do you live in her district or something, you know? Oh, wait, she's a congressperson, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. Like, you know, well, we'll take a message, but she probably won't call you back because you're not in her district. But when you go to look at the book Anarchist Cookbook on Amazon, there's this, you know, there's an author statement from him condemning the book, which I think even sells more. I mean, that's the most awesome author statement I've ever seen on Amazon.
No, I don't want to Google it, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
It's too late for me.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to put it in the show notes. For one thing, it's not a book that I don't think it should be banned, but I don't recommend like leaving it out where 12-year-olds are going to find it because they'll probably blow their hands off trying to do stuff.
That's when I had mine though, and I didn't blow my because I had downloaded a copy.
You're
of it.
Smarter than most kids.
I had downloaded a copy of it. Like that was one of the first things I think I pirated as a kid.
Downloaded.
Yeah, you know, that was like one of the very first things I ever pirated. It was a copy That's awesome. Of that book.
That's funny.
And none of it ever worked for me. Like it was just it was a really terrible copy of it though, so I don't know how legit it was. It was like all in text every chapter or instruction was like in text documents. Like it wasn't like an actual like scan of the book.
See, here's what I heard. I don't know where I heard this, and I'm not going to Google it to find out because I'm afraid to Google it. Isn't that funny? We're talking openly on FCC-controlled radio about something we won't Google. But if you do buy it, if you do buy the Anarchist Cookbook, please go to the Freedom Fiend site, click on the link that says Amazon, and use our affiliate link. I'm just not going to Google it. But
perhaps with a VPN or a virtual private network.
Yep.
Yes, use a VPN.
Yeah. So square. VPN, that guy's so square to try to ban his own book, man.
Yeah,
I can see square. Saying it's not good, but he's trying to ban his own book. It's square.
That was all for show.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers. And there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Welcome to your graduate level class in Libby.
No, this is postgraduate. This is post-postgraduate. Yeah, I'm postgraduate. This is like smoking dope professor after you left school.
This is experimental black ops military underground science.
Podcast. Radio. Yeah. Well, you know, the United States does do this thing called radio in a box, where they'll go to some place that they're trying to install a new leader and stuff. And they have this, I got you. I hear you, God. God's in my ear. They have this thing called radio in a box. And it's like, you know, there's a military, like it's number blah, there we are. I was turned down the whole show. All right. So it's this thing. Yo, good audio. So, but it's good. It just wasn't loud enough. How's that now, God? Am I too loud? Yeah. Anyway, so you made it. So there's this thing, radio in a box. And it's a pallet that they like airdrop to play, you know, towns in Afghanistan or Iraq or whatever. And it's basically got a rudimentary radio station and transmitter and like antenna. And they can put the antenna up in like, you know, four Marines can put it up in 2 hours, and they put it up and they get someone local that speaks the language, and they have, you know, like they find someone who does like the wedding DJing in that town in Iraq, and they'll say, okay, we're going to put you on the air. You're going to get to be on the radio here. And they'll go out, they'll hand out radios too for people that don't have them. And they'll have like the local guy playing the music that the people like. And then he'll like read these scripts that the Americans provide in his language. Radio in a box. Yeah.
In a box.
So what's Narcan? What's Narcan?
It's redemption.
Yeah,
it is redemption. It is too. Narcan is a life-saving drug that is able to help people that are overdosing.
Yep. And it's legal now, in somewhat legal, and some cops carry it now because they tend to get, you know, they tend to show up when 911 is called and there's a drug overdose. More and more, when you call for an ambulance, the cops just show up anyway. In my town, It's like the cops, the ambulance, and a fire truck shows up. It's weird. You know, when someone calls, like, because they are having health problems and need to go to the ER.
And the post office.
They just get paid for it. Yeah, so Narcan is this drug. It's an injectable drug, and the company that makes it makes, like, preloaded syringes of it. You just pull the cap off and inject it, you know, into the leg of someone who's OD'd on drugs. And within 30 seconds, they're like coughing and waking up from almost the dead. You know, as long as their heart's still beating, even slow, this will basically, what it does is it fills all of the opiate receptors. So opiates don't work anymore. And you wake up from it dope sick. And that's one of the, so there's this cop that doesn't want to carry it. Which basically proves, where is he? I mean, it basically proves they don't want to protect and serve.
Yeah, the guy is in Ohio, in what the article describes as an opioid-ravaged county.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a lot of problems with people overdosing with opiates here in this guy's county. And he's claiming that saving people's lives is sucking the taxpayers dry.
Yeah, and he says that he doesn't want to help opiate addicts because sometimes when you revive them, they're combative and they don't like the police. And I'm like, they're combative and they don't like the police. They're combative because Narcan makes you dope sick. Like, and they don't like the police because all you do is arrest them and hassle them and take their drugs. You know, you're pooping on their party.
Yeah. Well, that's probably what they do after they revive them, right, is they arrest them. So, of course, they're combative.
Yeah. Like, you know, I was playing guitar with Jimi Hendrix, and you woke me up and arrested me, man.
Yeah.
Wait a second. How's the free market approach going to solve this problem?
Well, I got some information here. News that you can use, not medical advice, something I used to do. So there's this other drug called Trexan that's used like anabuse for addicts. Like if you're a recurrent addict, a lot of rehabs will put you on Trexan, which is like you take it once a day, and then if you go like, I gotta shoot dope, I'm gonna shoot dope, and you shoot dope, it does not get high. But Trexan, cooked and put into a syringe, does the same as Narcan to someone who's out ODing. So since Narcan is prescription, I'm not recommending people keep a syringe loaded with a solution of one Trexan pill over their door stop in their apartment and tell all their friends that they're there partying on with shooting dope with them. But I will say it saved my life, and it saved a couple of people's life in my house at one time back in the 90s when I was doing dope. News you cannot use because this is not medical advice. Where is it, James? You got it?
For
entertainment purposes only.
Yes, there we go. One?
For educational purposes only.
If what you are about to do is illegal, you should immediately move to a HIPAA community.
Yep.
Where's that one?
Disclaimers.